Okay, let's unpack this one. Imagine you're running a small business. You're probably pretty tired of hearing the same old marketing pitches.
Oh, yeah. Big promises, vague results.
And usually just less money in your pocket at the end of it. You know, you've tried the directories, the leaflets, maybe some online ads.
I mostly felt like you were just throwing money away,
Right.
getting nowhere.
Exactly. Now picture this. Amidst all the usual junk mail, this flyer shows up. And it's not sleek. It's kind of weird.
It's strange, yeah.
It's got this drawing like a winged sphinx
Yeah.
and these words you've never heard before. Isle of White Follies.
Right. And our sources, they tell us about Paul, who runs a cafe on the Isle of Wight. His first reaction, just pure skepticism. Understandable, really.
Because he'd been through the marketing ringer, hadn't he?
Totally. Obscure directories costing a fortune, leaflets that probably went straight in the bin, promises of exposure.
Which usually means nothing concrete.
Exactly. He got, and I like how one source puts this, little more than a lighter wallet and a few more cold stares at the till.
Ouch. So, this Isle of Wight Follies flyer lands, and he thinks.
Just another gimmick. He saw, like, something with monsters and QR codes and quests, and immediately thought, absolutely not.
Not for my cafe, not for my customers.
Definitely not worth spending my last few marketing pennies on.
Yeah.
He was literally seconds away from tossing it.
And you can see why, can't you? On the surface, it sounds, well, bizarre. Mythical creatures, quests to market a cafe.
Can something that sounds so out there actually, work, help a small business?
That really is the core question for this deep dive, isn't it? Using the sources we've got, we're going to follow Paul's journey from that moment of no way to potentially finding something, well, game-changing.
It's a dive into the Isle of Wight Follies and what it might tell us about, I suppose, unconventional marketing.
Yeah, and maybe how tired people are of the old ways.
It definitely seems to highlight that, especially for someone like Paul, who felt completely burned by traditional marketing.
Right. So he didn't bin it straight away, but he tucked it away under the sugar jar, apparently.
The graveyard for unwanted flyers.
Pretty much. He forgot all about it. But then the story takes a turn.
Yeah, picture this. A really slow day at the cafe. You know those ones where time just drags?
We've all been there.
Paul's reaching for the sugar, maybe to make himself a coffee, and he spots the corner of that flyer again.
Just peeking out, dog-eared.
Exactly. Not exactly calling to him, but it was just there. And maybe out of sheer boredom, he picks it up again.
And this time, he actually looks at it properly.
He sees the headline, 44 Mythical Creatures, starts scanning the drawings.
Like the vampire, the proper old school Nosferatu looking thing.
Yeah, and dragons, goblins, trolls. The source says he actually laughed. Like, why is there a vampire on a business flyer? It's just absurd.
But maybe the absurdity was the key.
I think so. That plus the quality of the illustrations, it kind of broke through his cynicism. He started reading it properly.
And that's when it clicked.
Yeah, the realization hits him. This isn't just another listing service, it's a game.
An island-wide game.
Yeah.
And the crucial bit.
His town, his little part of the Isle of Wight, was listed as one of the 44 locations in this game.
Okay, now that's different. That changes things.
Completely. It shifts the perspective. It's not advertising at people anymore, it's storytelling. Gamified tourism, something designed to get people actively exploring.
Right, moving around the island. And he saw something else too, didn't he, about how businesses fit in.
Yeah, this was key. Businesses weren't just listed passively, they were like integral to the whole thing.
They could be evidence points, locations for QR codes.
Part of rotating exclusive free zones, even. His cafe, his actual cafe, could be woven into the very lore of this weird mythical world.
Okay, that potential being part of a story, not just an ad, that sounds genuinely interesting.
It really grabbed him. So, fueled by this unexpected curiosity, he goes online, checks out the link.
Expecting what? Some slick website?
Yeah, the source says he expected a glossy vanity project, something that looked good but was ultimately hollow.
And instead,
Well, it couldn't have been more different. Yes, there was a directory, and apparently a proper one too, made his old expensive one look pointless.
but that wasn't the main attraction.
Not at all. The really unique thing was this mock newspaper, the Island News.
Ah, the newspaper. Tell us about that.
It was weekly, looked great, but was completely absurd, but like polished absurdity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I get it. Professional silliness.
Exactly. It had creature sightings, island updates, even fake classifieds. He apparently clicked on a headline like Gnome caught catfishing in Shalfleet.
Seriously, gnome catfishing?
Yep. And the source says he found it had no right being as funny or as cleverly written as it was. It was actually engaging content, capturing the quirky vibe of the game.
Okay, that's clever. It draws you in.
And it didn't stop there. There was also a video newscast.
A newscast? Like TV news?
Sort of. It featured this dark, silhouetted figure, like an informant, and had a running ticker tape with news flashes. The vibe was described as a mix of noir detective series and local satire.
Wow. They really built a whole world.
He was hooked. Then he found the actual quest portal, the game mechanics bit.
Right. How does that work?
Players scan a QR code, maybe on their phone. They get sent to a random location on the island. There, they find virtual evidence, maybe spot a creature through AR or something. And they can even contribute their own sightings or stories.
So it's properly interactive. The players are part of it, too.
Totally. And the genius is how the businesses are integrated. They aren't just names on a map. They're physical anchors.
Places you actually go to.
Yes. They can hold the QR codes players need to scan. They can be the locations players are directed to. They can even supply physical evidence bags, little souvenirs maybe. And they get featured in the newspaper and newscast as sighting locations.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this could work. It makes the business a destination within the game.
Precisely. So Paul's explored all this. He's intrigued, maybe even a little excited. Then comes the crucial question.
How much does it cost? Because that's usually the catch, right?
You'd think so. Ready for this?
Go on.
£70.
70? For what, a month?
Nope. Per year.
£70 a year? You're kidding!
Seriously. Compare that to the £99 he was paying annually for that directory listing.
The one that brought in exactly zero customers.
Exactly. The contrast is just stark.
Okay, that's fun. Wow. And this is where it really clicked for him, wasn't it?
Bang! Lightning bolt moment. He realized, this isn't a directory at all. It's an entire marketing department masquerading as an island-wide storytelling game.
It's not about being listed. It's about being remembered and visited.
The value wasn't the listing itself. It was the constant creative engagement, this whole ecosystem designed to get people talking about his business, seeking it out.
It's a shift from passive exposure, like an ad nobody sees, to active participation.
Yeah. For 70 quid, he wasn't just buying an ad space. He was buying a role for his cafe, an identity within this popular unfolding island story.
Still, it's a leap, isn't it? From standard marketing to this. Did he jump right in?
Well, even with that revelation, it still felt different, a bit out there. He needed a sounding board, a gut check.
So he turned to his family.
Exactly. Showed it to his wife. Probably expected her to say, Paul, what is this nonsense?
But that's not what happened.
Nope. Her eyebrows went up. She saw the newspaper, the newscast, tried the QR codes, and saw they actually worked, sending her phone to, like, new places on a map. She got it.
And the kids. I bet the kids loved it.
Oh, instantly. They were buzzing, pitching ideas straight away.
Like what?
Like, Dad, we could film a blurry video of something disappearing behind the bins. Or, let's do a mock interview with the baker next door about seeing glowing eyes. We can Photoshop claw prints on the counter.
Ha, brilliant. They just got the playful aspect immediately.
Totally. And that immediate enthusiasm, especially from the kids, is really telling. It shows this concept taps directly into what engages people, particularly families, looking for something fun to do.
And that must have been the final push for Paul. Seeing the reaction.
That seems to be the big aha moment. He saw exactly how it could work. Every time someone shares a sighting, maybe you're at a cafe, they're pointing people.
Yeah.
Here. His place would get mentioned in the game, in the paper, on the news show.
It just keeps reinforcing the connection.
It hit him then. This wasn't a gimmick. This was a living, breathing, ridiculous story, and the whole island was the stage.
So he looked around his cafe, the same tables, same chairs.
And suddenly saw it differently. Not just a place for coffee and cake. It could be a quest hub, a lore keeper, a partner in this weird, economically active mystery.
That's quite a shift in mindset.
Yeah, the source describes it as the feeling that the constant pressure of just surviving, just paying the bills, kind of lifted. It was replaced by the excitement of an adventure.
Okay, so the decision was made. He signed up.
He did. Feeling like he was buying, as he put it, marketing disguised as magic. Like his cafe was becoming a level in this crazy island game.
And did someone just flip a switch online or?
No, this is another nice touch. Soon after, Mark from the Follies actually showed up at the cafe in person.
Ah, a real human being.
Described as warm, animated, and surprisingly real.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a world away from faceless online services.
What's the difference? So what did they do?
Got straight to work, collaborating. They filmed a quick 30-second sighting video right outside the cafe. Nothing slick, just raw, fun, real.
Like the kids suggested.
Pretty much. The source mentions Paul making a joke about maybe seeing a Wendigo, and his youngest piped up about a Hydra. Sounds really authentic and charming.
I love that. So practical stuff.
Yeah. Mark gave him the tools, QR code stickers, one for the window, but also spares for near the till, maybe by the cakes, little nudges for people inside.
Physical invitations to play the game right there.
And the quest log books. These little books players could buy. Mark provided them to Paul for £3 each.
And Paul could sell them for £5.
Exactly. A clean £2 margin on each one. A simple extra revenue stream that also deepens the engagement. People buying the book right there in his cafe.
That's a neat little upsell. It's not just about the game online, it's tangible too.
And it all just confirmed Paul's feeling. This wasn't just clever digital marketing. This was local magic. Real people interacting, real play happening, and real profit potentially coming in. His cafe wasn't just a business anymore.
It had become a legend, part of the story.
Exactly.
Okay, so he's set up, he's part of the Follies. Then came the moment of truth, right? Did it actually work? Did people come?
The payoff. And yes, the first sign wasn't long in coming.
What happened?
A family walks in, looking, you know, windswept, like they've been out exploring. And they ask, excuse me, have you seen the Hydra around here?
No way. Yeah. Directly referencing the game.
Yep. And Paul, playing along perfectly, apparently offered them some evidence. Maybe a blurry photo, who knows? But it wasn't just a transaction anymore.
It was a shared moment. All in the story together.
Exactly. And this wasn't just a one-off. The source says this started happening more and more. Yeah. Families, couples, even solo questers started coming in. Some just scanned the QR code and left, sure. But many stayed. They bought coffee, cake, lunch, and wanted to talk about their quest, share their sightings.
It turned the cafe into a social hub for the game.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's a brilliant little detail from the source, the rule for getting one of those physical evidence bags. Remember those?
Vaguely, yeah. Souvenirs or something.
Right. Well, the rule was customers had to buy something first to get one.
Ah, simple but effective. Directly links playing the game to spending money in the cafe.
Genius, isn't it?
Yeah.
It directly converts that game engagement into actual revenue.
And did Paul lean into it creatively?
Oh, yeah. He started inventing themed items.
Yeah.
Things like the quest snack or the thirst quencher for mythical folk.
Nice. Did they sell?
Became bestsellers. It reinforced the cafe's identity within the Follies world. And, you know, boosted the bottom line.
So the tangible results, was he suddenly rich?
The source is realistic about it. They weren't rolling in dough overnight, but what they were rich in was different. Curiosity, footfall, stories, and smiles.
That sounds pretty good too, actually. Less quantifiable maybe, but valuable.
Definitely. His cafe went from being just another place on a high street to a marked location, a destination people were actively looking for because of the game.
So that crushing pressure of survival, as the source put it.
It had lifted because they weren't just serving food anymore. They were serving the story.
And that feeling of being part of something incredible that must have transformed the daily grind of running the business.
Made it feel less like survival and more like, well, an adventure. Fun, even.
It's a great story for Paul's cafe. But stepping back, is this just a one-off or is it a wider thing?
No, the sources make it clear this isn't just for cafes. The Isle of Wight Follies is open to, well, all sorts of businesses. Pubs, guest houses, little shops, places that hire out bikes or kayaks, local attractions. Pretty much anyone who benefits from footfall and wants to engage visitors or locals in a fun way.
So the potential is much broader. And they all get the same kind of benefits.
Seems so. Becoming a location on the game map, being able to give out those evidence bags tied to a purchase. Remember getting featured in the island news or the newscasts, social media shoutouts, selling the logbooks.
It's all designed to actively drive people to your door and make their visit more fun, more memorable.
Exactly. And it comes back to that core message, the one Paul realized. This isn't advertising, it's storytelling.
And maybe in a world drowning in ads, stories are what actually stick, what people connect with and remember.
It allows businesses to become a vital, remembered part of that bigger island story.
So wrapping this up, looking at Paul's journey, it's pretty remarkable. From total skeptic, completely fed up with marketing,
to basically integrating his cafe into this interactive island-wide narrative,
yeah,
and finding success doing it.
The mechanism itself is fascinating, isn't it? Turning a physical place into a node. a point within an ongoing game world that people are actively exploring.
And contributing to themselves. It's collaborative.
Which leaves us, and you listening, with a final thought to chew on, maybe. Paul found success by becoming part of this, let's face it, pretty bizarre mythical quest setup.
Definitely unusual.
So how could focusing on creating an experience or weaving your own business into some kind of compelling story be more powerful than just buying ads, no matter what your business does?
And if a cafe can become a quest hub for hunting hydras and gnomes,
ooh,
what unexpected, maybe even slightly ridiculous form could your story take? What narrative could you become part of?
Something to think about.